Well, there is music in the air with the Wisconsin Flute Festival, which is an annual event, and the festival director, Danielle Breisach, will tell us. How many has it been, Danielle?
Thank you, Norman. This year is our 16th year for the Wisconsin Flute Festival, and we are really excited to be back in Madison after having been in Whitewater this last year. We had a great festival last year, and we're really excited about the upcoming collaboration that we have between our guest artist and a local musician.
So when you say Flute Festival, is that just lots and lots of flutes?
It is lots and lots of flutes, yeah. Hundreds of flutes here in Madison.
And so you're performing concerts, obviously, that are available to the public?
Absolutely. We have registration for the festival during the day. The festival runs from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., and then we have a closing concert at 5:30 p.m. The festival itself, there is a registration fee, and there are concerts each hour, including three competitions, one for collegiate flutists, one for high school flutists, and one for middle school flutists. We even have, I believe, a 5 or 6 year old flutist playing on that concert, on that competition. And then at 5:30 p.m. over in Music Hall, the closing concert is free and open to the public.
And before we go any further with this, Danielle, there's information at a website somewhere.
Yes, WisconsinFluteFestival.org is the place to go for all of the information.
Well, that would be just the right place by the sound of it. Well, so when I say nothing but flutes, is that accurate for an undertaking of this size?
Okay, so not really. Not really just flutes.
So flutes and more.
Flutes and more this year, yes. We have a concert that is being given by Christina Ballatore. She's the flute professor at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and she and some of her colleagues from Whitewater are going to be playing. I believe that concert includes clarinet, saxophone, and piano. Also, of special interest, that free closing concert that I mentioned, we have our guest artist in from the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, Bonnie Boyd. She and local guitarist Chris Allen are going to be giving a collaborative flute and guitar concert.
And, well, you brought her along, too.
I did, yes. Yeah, so I will turn the microphone over to her and let her speak about some of the pieces that, some of the CDs that she has brought and pieces to share with us on the radio today.
Welcome to the Midday.
I'm so happy to be here with both of you. It's great and wonderful to come to Wisconsin.
And, well, we'll hope to keep it that way. I'm sure it'll be a great experience for everybody. And so some of these pieces that you played, some of them are by contemporary composers, some of them are by familiar flute composers, and some of them are transcriptions. We'll, for example, get to the Paganini mm-hmm. in a little while, mm-hmm. which is quite the, I was going to say handful, but really the mouthful for a flutist,
yes,
I'm sure,
indeed.
To play all those caprices for solo violin. You have at hand, though, this by the contemporary composer Roberto Sierra. And this is from a suite of his from 1992, and it is rounded out with, is it really a battle piece?
Yes, it is, actually. So I thought I might mention a little of what Sierra wrote about it. Roberto Sierra is originally from Puerto Rico, and he's been on the faculty at Cornell University for many years and really a marvelous composer, absolutely. So he writes this. These six pieces are a series of chronicles that I compose on the subject of the meeting between the Aboriginal Indian culture of the Caribbean islands and the Spanish conquistadors. The image of surprise and bewilderment from both sides is particularly fascinating thought for me. What do the Indians think about the conquistadors and vice versa? So in the, it's a series of different impressions about this, and the last one that we're going to hear is a battle indeed.
Thank you. Well, it's from a long tradition of battle pieces going back at least to the 17th century, mm-hmm. and that's a latter-day entry into that tradition, Battaglia, the final of the six movements of a suite by Roberto Sierra featuring one of my guests today, Bonita Boyd, and there was a guitarist there too, sure enough, flute and more.
Yes. In fact, the guitarist is famed guitarist Nicholas Galusis, who I've been working with, had the joy of working with for many more than 20 years. We've been concertizing together, and he actually was going to be here for this concert on Friday, but he, alas, fell on the ice, as we have in Rochester. So
it's been known to happen here, too.
Right. We're so grateful to Chris Allen for stepping in, and I'm just really looking forward to playing with him. We already had one short rehearsal and lots more tomorrow, so I'm really looking forward to doing that.
And it's a favorite combination of composers over the years, especially since, like, I guess the early 19th century flute and guitar.
Mm-hmm. But so much more in the 20th century and into the 21st. We've had many pieces written for us and premiered many, and so many of these pieces, most of what we play actually is within the last 30 years written.
Mm-hmm. And here's some more for flute and guitar, another contemporary composer.
Yes. So this is by David Liptak, Songs of Persephone, and we're going to play the last song. David Liptak is on the faculty of the Eastman School of Music and a really fantastic composer. And these are really, really beautiful. The last song is about the mysterious power of love. The whole cycle focuses on love in different ways as a mystery and are taken from... He said he wrote these songs in 1997. Actually, these were written for us and for my sister, who was a soprano, who has passed away since. And they're extracted from a poetical novel, Persephone, by Homero Arregis, which was published originally in Spanish in 1967. So it retells the Persephone myth. And so on. So this last song is very, very beautiful. And the soprano on this recording, Catherine Lewick, has since become quite a star in the Metropolitan Opera. She debuted there as Queen of the Night and has continued. So,
love. Mm-hmm. Sound of flute and guitar and soprano.
That was the fifth song, Love, from Songs of Persephone by composer David Liptak. And it was myself playing flute, Bonita Boyd and Nicholas Galusis on guitar, and Catherine Lewick, soprano.
And she is here in town. Bonita is as part of the Wisconsin Flute Festival, which is, we'll give you a little bit more info about that again shortly, but there are a lot of things going on, including some workshops that we will tell you about right now.
Thanks again, Norman. So in addition to all of the concerts and performances that I mentioned earlier, we have several different workshops that are really valuable for flutists and musicians of all different levels and ages and abilities. We have a few of the sessions of special note. I would say one would be the repair workshop that Robert Johnson at Flute Specialists will be giving. He's actually going to lead participants through taking a flute apart and putting it back together. So that is certainly a unique experience for our attendees.
I would, if I were a flutist, I would attend both parts of that.
the taking apart and putting it together, yes.
Stay tuned for the sequel,
Yes. One of our sessions that was a huge hit last year was our Low Flutes Petting Zoo. This gives attendees the opportunity to try out the alto flute, the bass flute, and the contrabass flute that the Madison Flute Club owns. And especially the contrabass is kind of a unique opportunity. There are three in the state now. The one that the Madison Flute Club owns, it has a name. It's called Calliope, and it was the first one in the state.
So, contrabass flute.
Yes, contrabass flute. It plays two octaves below the regular C flute.
That sounds like it takes a lot of wind.
It does, yes.
Something to work up to, or you might say down to. And speaking of a lot of wind, you have recorded, Bonita, all 24 of the caprices for solo violin originally by Paganini, and quite a project, quite a challenge to go through all of those because, I mean, they're virtuosic for the violin and I assume equally so for the flute.
Yes, that's really, really true. Actually, all 24 caprices were transcribed in Paganini's lifetime.
Were they?
By flutist Jules Hermann, who taught at the conservatory in France at Lille. And so we feel the same about them as the violinists. And, you know, I don't know how much of your audience might know, Paganini probably was the most famous violin soloist ever, and they used to write amazing things about him, like sell everything you have, sell anything, just don't miss hearing a play, and they accused him of having a pact with the devil.
Yes, and somebody said he plays the violin not only the best of anyone, but as well as the instrument can be played.
I'm sure that must have been true, absolutely.
And so would that apply to the flute when it comes to transcribing
these? I think they're wicked hard.
Uh-huh. Well, that word has been applied to Paganini.
It was a great project. Actually, the whole project was David Zinman's idea for me.
Oh, great.
Years and years ago, it was for a New York debut, and he said, why don't you play all 24 violin caprices in New York at Lincoln Center? And
I said, over a period of time or not in one?
All at once.
Really?
All at once. So I actually started to think about that, and then I thought, well, you know, it's so many, it's
yes.
so long, and the audience will die. So how about 12? And then I cut it to 8. So uh-huh. I actually played 8 on this concert, and it was, I was very, very lucky because the critic could have felt otherwise, but he it was really a wonderful review, and I felt like later I looked at it, looked back, and thought, oh my gosh, this could have turned out very differently. So I've been concertizing with them for a long time, and we really do enjoy them. They are very challenging, as you say. So
this is the last of the most famous by far. It's inspired several composers over the decades to write variations. Of course, most famously, the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini by Rachmaninoff. But here it is, solo flute, the Caprice number 24 in A minor by Paganini. Performance of yours again. Yes, it's already recorded. You can't do anything wrong, and yet still there's a kind of an anxiety that goes with listening to something like that, Bonita.
That's really true. I don't listen to myself normally, so that was fun in a way. But I still find myself breathing with myself, which is crazy.
Yeah, well, no, I think a common phenomenon. Well, thanks for sharing some of your breathing and the music that comes with it with us today during the midday. And Bonita Boyd will be here with the Wisconsin Flute Festival, which in brief, Danielle, takes place which days, and then we'll give the website address again.
So the festival takes place all day on Saturday, April 6th at the Pyle Center, and then we close out with an evening concert on that night, April 6th at 5:30 p.m. Information and registration tickets can be found at wisconsinflutefestival.org.
Thanks for stopping by.